Hi, this is Brigitte Moucher with the Solari Wellness Series. Thank you for joining me today for an interview with Dr. Christopher Shade on detoxification. There are more and more reasons for us today to better understand how detoxification works in the body so that we can do the right thing, which is not always easy. That's why I invited Dr. Shade, who has been studying the detoxification process and developing solutions for many years. Dr. Shade, welcome to the Solari Wellness Series.
Hello, Brigitte. It's great to be here.
Thank you. So, Christopher Shade has a PhD in environmental science and aquatic chemistry. He is the founder and CEO of Quicksilver Scientific, where he continues to be the driving force behind the development of new solutions. Dr. Shade's deep knowledge, passion for healing, and intuitive understanding of chemistry and biology are reflected in Quicksilver Scientific's detoxification products. Dr. Shade is a recognized expert on mercury, heavy metals, and the human detoxification system, and he's been sharing his expertise with doctors and patients in the US and internationally for many years. Dr. Shade's current focus is on the development of cutting-edge lipid-based delivery systems for nutraceuticals, such as liposomes and microemulsion systems, to address the growing need for high-quality, affordable detoxification solutions. So let's start by maybe defining what a toxin is and follow with an overview of the human detoxification system. How does that sound?
Yeah, sure. And, you know, in even starting, a lot of people miss the interconnectedness of all the parts of your body. And when we talk about detoxification, it's not just that we're going to go in and pull this thing out that might be slowing you down a little bit. But what we're going to do is tune up organs like the liver that, yes, they detoxify, but they're also controlling so much of your metabolism and how you generate energy and, you know, how much you burn versus store energy. They control hormones. They control the immune system. And so it becomes a very big part of wellness and keeping a really thriving system. So first, you know, back to your question of what is a toxin? And it's a great, I'm glad you asked me that. It seems like an obvious question, but a toxin really is just a chemical, and you make a lot of chemicals in your body. You're made out of chemicals, and there's chemicals in the environment, and they're coming in and they're going out. And it's at the point at which that chemical is starting to create negative reactions in your body. Maybe it's blocking enzyme reactions, or maybe it's causing a distortion in your brain called neuroinflammation that's causing you to think fuzzy or to start having anxiety. Maybe it's changing your metabolism so that you're putting on and holding weight. But it's that chemical entity at the point at which you get more of it than your body can accommodate, and that's when it becomes a toxin. So things we think of as toxins are things where that point, that tipping point where it becomes negative for the body, is at a low level. And so what I specialized in were metallic toxins, and my PhD was around mercury in the environment. Mercury is a very quintessential toxin because very low levels of it cause a lot of problems in the body, and lead, arsenic, cadmium all do that. And these things are things that we are exposed to and can build up in us and start causing a lot of problems when the supply of them into the body exceeds how fast we get rid of them. But then there's mold toxins are a real big one these days. There's all the pesticides and herbicides that are just distributed all over the place because of their use in agriculture. There's plastics and plasticizers. There's volatile organic chemicals like gasoline fumes. And so, you know, it kind of depends, what are you exposed to more than you're getting rid of it? And how do you keep your body tuned up so it's always getting rid of these things as you're exposed to them?
Yes, definitely. So how do we do that?
Well, that is a good question.
Yeah, and do we need to talk about all the organs involved first, or?
Yeah. Well, let's, all right. So when I lecture on detoxification, I like to talk about microcosm and macrocosm. And so what do we mean by that in the body? And so the microcosm in the body is a cell. And the cell has machinery for detoxification, and they're often called phases of detoxification. And if you picture a little cell there, and there's a toxin get into the cell, you will first prepare the toxin if you need to, and make it reactive so that you can then link something onto it. So in the phases, there's phase 1, 2, and 3. In phase 1, you take a toxin that maybe is not reactive, like a plasticizer or like a volatile chemical, like a gasoline type of chemical, and you make it reactive. And then in phase 2, you link something onto it that you make. And that would, the most notable of those is called glutathione. It's an antioxidant and detoxification chemical that you make in all your cells. And so at the end of phase 2, you have the toxin linked onto something that you made, and it's a toxin glutathione complex or a toxin glucuronic acid or sulfate complex. It's a couple different complexes you make. And then you got to get it out of the cell, and that's phase 3. And you've got these transporters that go across the membranes and actively transport that toxin out of the cell. And they use energy, they use ATP, and they use magnesium. And this is why you need energy from your mitochondria to detoxify, and why you have a high demand, one of the reasons there's a high demand for magnesium. And so the microcosm was the cell pushing the toxin away from the cell, because when the toxin's in the cell, it can damage the mitochondria, then you can't make energy. It can damage a number of different enzymes in there. It can damage the membranes, and then the membranes aren't able to pull in nutrients right and excrete waste right. And so the cell needs to get these things out, push away, and that's the microcosm. And where does it push it into? The extracellular space. And so the extracellular space, also called the extracellular matrix, is very interesting. It's a connective tissue, and it's the one organ that connects every single cell in the body, because that is a continuous system of connective tissue between every cell and then going, and the lymphatic channels build through this extracellular matrix. This is where all the energy medicine happens, in the extracellular matrix. The what are known as the meridians in Chinese medicine are moving their ordered structured ion channels that move through the extracellular matrix. When you do acupuncture, the changes caused by acupuncture cascade through the extracellular matrix and change the way that you move things from your blood to the cell and how you communicate cell to cell through the body. So in that microcosmic detoxification, you've pushed the toxin into the extracellular space. Now we have to move it from there, and it'll join into the lymphatic flow, and then it will join into the blood. And from the blood, it'll move to the organs of elimination. And this is what we call the macrocosmic aspect of detoxification, how you take that and put it out of your body system. So the most notable of the organs in that is the liver. And then you also have the kidneys as kind of a number two, and you have the GI tract as number three, and then the skin. But the liver is taking from the blood and dumping into the GI. And so this is the number one route. And it's important to sort of visualize how the liver does this. And it's going to take us to the importance of bile flow. And if you remember, bile is that green liquid that comes out of the liver. And we know it, usually we think of it as being necessary for fat digestion, because it's an emulsifier and it emulsifies fat. But now, where does that bile come from? Now, if you picture a cell, picture it like a kind of a rectangular box. And on one side of the box, you have a blood vessel coming in and feeding the liver cell. And on the opposite side of it, you have it's almost like a blood vessel, but it's called a biocanaliculus. And it is, what you can envision is like roots of a tree coming from every single cell in the liver, feeding this bile tree. And these little rootlets are coming together into bigger rootlets that are coming together in what's called the common bile duct. So it's like an upside down tree, and the roots are extending into every single cell and draining out through a main trunk that exits the liver and goes and fills up the gallbladder, and then exits that and goes into the small intestine. So every cell is on one side fed by blood, and there it can take both raw toxins that you've got, that you've inhaled from the air, or that you've got through your GI tract, you absorbed in the GI tract and from the food, or it takes these conjugated toxins that the cells made and threw into the bloodstream and pulls them into the liver cell, does whatever work needs to be done to finalize their processing, and dumps those toxins into the bile flow. And so when you do that, the toxins go down with the bile. And yes, bile is going to emulsify fats, but bile is also bringing all the toxins out of the liver into the GI tract. It also sterilizes or cleans the upper GI tract. When people talk about probiotics and microbes in your GI tract, that's more down farther in the GI where they live. In the upper GI, it's supposed to be fairly clean. And so bile is doing all of these things for us. But when we block the bile flow, then the liver can no longer get rid of those toxins and dump them into the GI. And instead, it opens up another door and dumps them back into the blood. So this is a very dangerous thing when we can't get bile flow going, because it makes us accumulate toxins and then in pulses flush them back into the blood. And when people don't do proper sequences of detoxification, this is what happens, and this is what people call a Herxheimer reaction. So it's important to know what kind of things block that flow. And without having that bile flow open, you shouldn't be attempting to do detoxification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very nice explanation. Thank you. So what is the best thing we can do to maintain a healthy detoxification system then?
So the first thing to think about, and you know, we'll go back to this liver and keeping the liver open, the bile open. And then we'll talk about, you know, other pathways to keep open. And when you really want to detox, how many of these do you open and how do you open them all? All right. So bile first, you know, what blocks that? And the biggest thing that blocks that is stress and being sympathetic dominant. And so just somewhere in your interview series, someone has talked about the autonomic nervous system. The autonomic nervous system is the background nervous system that automatically works to control breath rate, heart rate, and very importantly, perfusion, which is how much blood you move into what compartment. Like an organ needs a lot of blood to feed it. And there's times where you'll move a lot of blood to an organ, and there's times where you'll starve it a little bit more. And the autonomic nervous system has a yin-yang pairing to it called parasympathetic and sympathetic. And sympathetic autonomics are what people will remember as fight or flight. So when your autonomic nervous system goes into sympathetic dominance, you're in a fight or flight stage. And in that, you starve your system of energy for things like detoxification, regeneration, just general healing, and you flood blood and energy into fighting or running. And so if we're chronically in a sympathetic state. We're chronically moving resources away from cleanup and regeneration. Parasympathetic is the opposite, and that's a very Zen-like state, and they call that rest and digest, or more broadly, rest, digest, repair, regenerate, detoxify. Those are the things that we want. So we have to make sure that we can let our body shift naturally between times when we're on it and really focused on something and sympathetic, and times when we're relaxing back and letting our body go parasympathetic. And unfortunately, a lot of toxins work in our brain on a receptor system called the glutamate receptors. And the glutamate receptors are responsible for you being on it, but they keep you in sympathetic. And things like mercury and mold toxins will hyperactivate the glutamate receptors. And when they're hyperactivated, yes, you're in sympathetic, and you also get symptoms like anxiety. And then when it goes on for a long time, you start creating free radicals, which give you brain fog. And even worse, then you're losing sleep, and there's a number of things going on. Now, when those glutamate receptors are hyperactive, they're reflexively blocking your bile flow, and you are not detoxifying. So there's you need to break that link there. And one of the other things that makes you sympathetic dominant and also locks up your, it works on the glutamate receptors and it directly blocks your bile flow, is a certain hormone imbalance called estrogen dominance. And that's when your estrogen levels are too high relative to progesterone levels, or too high relative to testosterone levels. And, you know, the opposite of estrogen is progesterone. And so when people are doing hormone replacement therapy, it used to be that when women went through menopause, they would give them estrogen, which generally makes things worse. And now it's more they focus on progesterone and testosterone and small amounts of estrogen. And progesterone, in fact, makes you relaxed. It acts on the glutamate receptors, and it's great for opening up bile flow. Now, one of the classic remedies for opening up bile flow are bitter compounds. So what people call bitters, you know, and these have a resurgence in today's cocktail culture, but they've always been big in European folk medicine. The Germans and the Swedish would traditionally have bitters after meals to stimulate digestion. And that's because it's stimulating the bitter receptors on the tongue, open up the bile flow. In fact, as they've gone in and done more science over time, they find bitter receptors all through the body, including in the ovaries, in the pancreas, in the stomach, and in the liver, where they, another mode of action for opening up bile flow. And so, you know, in this world where everybody's focused on sweet and salty, we need to move a little bit back to the bitter flavors because they open that up. So the first thing we need to do is keep our bile flow open. And that involves, one, making sure you've got poise in your system. You're not always stressed out. Two, you're taking bitters, and you have a good fat content in your diet. When you're all carb-based, you shut down a lot of the bile flow that is necessary to keep the liver moving. In fact, carb-based stuff has a carb-based diet has a whole range of consequences, one of them being fatty liver disease. You know, long time ago, there was only alcoholic fatty liver disease, and now there's an epidemic of non-alcoholic fatty liver. And that's from being too carb-based in your diet. And when you do that, carbs used to be a luxury. You know, when if you go back to cavemen, it's not like, oh yeah, let me go and get, you know, a loaf of bread and eat that. Carbs only happened when you came upon, you know, a fruiting bush or you know, some sort of source of seeds that just came out. And people were more eating fat long run. And so when carbs are around, you go into a storage mechanism where you start depositing fat, and it creates over time an inflammatory mechanism where inflammation is building up in the body and in the vasculature, in the liver. And another thing that we have to be really cognizant of in detoxification is that inflammation blocks detoxification, all right? And that's doing it both at this liver bile drainage level, that macrocosm level, and it's also doing it at a cellular level. All right, so we said we have to keep the liver open. We need bitters. We need, you know, less stress in our life. We need to lower inflammation, and we need to get away from too much carb. Two other organs that are helping us, GI and kidneys, we need to be drinking enough water and peeing a lot. And during active times of detoxification, often you'll take some diuretics, so you pee more. And those would be things like cranberry juice, some of the different herbs like corn silk or horsetail, cleavers. Dandelion actually is probably my favorite kidney tonic. And then the GI tract has to be moving a lot. So you need to be going to the bathroom a lot. You cannot be constipated and detoxify. So you need to be going to the bathroom, preferably, you know, bowel movements twice a day. And if you're not doing that, then you should introduce magnesium into your diet, more water, maybe fiber like gums, like acacia gum, things that can help you be more regular to move everything out of there. And then the last organ that you're going to use is the skin, and that is for sweating. And so hanging out in saunas is probably the best passive way to both relax and detoxify. Whereas, you know, it's great to sweat when you're working out, but when you're working out, you're a little bit more sympathetic dominant, so it doesn't work quite as well there. So let me pause after that long ramble and let me see where you want to take that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love the way that you add some elements from different systems and different modalities and different philosophies. It gives us a very, very complete view.
Yeah, you know, because it's easy to think that this is just a chemical endeavor, but, you know, it's a neuro, emotional, psychological, energetic, you know, there's so many different levels at which, you know, you're generating wellness and allowing your body to do what it's supposed to do. And there's so many different ways we can encourage that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a really, really good picture. So are there any signs? I'm thinking about what could be signs that first the liver needs attention, or that the body is not detoxifying, or that the body is detoxifying. So how do you know? What are the signs? You need to be watching.
Yeah, and I think liver is the most important one to focus on. So first we'll say, all right, what are signs that you're toxic? How do toxins manifest most? And what are the signs that the liver's not really doing its job right? Mm-hmm. All right, so toxins, especially metals, but really all of them, tend to affect you most in a cognitive and an energy way. So on a cognitive level, they're shifting you over to this glutamate dominance, which will often generate anxiety first, and then it'll create cognitive, you know, what we call brain fog. You'll just have a hard time processing. And that can come both directly from the toxins and from secondary effects. You start getting problems in your GI, especially when your liver's not working well, that cause something called leaky gut. Leaky gut is when you're getting little parts of bacteria from your GI tract into circulation, and they are inflammagens. They generate inflammation, and this inflammation opens up the blood-brain barrier, and the inflammation goes into the brain and creates a lot of this brain fog and anxiety. All right, so you've got these neurological issues like that, and then you are damaging your energy metabolism, your ability to create energy and vitality at a couple different levels. The mitochondrial is a microcosmic aspect of that. That's a cell level energy generation damage. And most of the toxins are directly damaging to the mitochondria. There's a very delicate system of support inside the mitochondria to keep free radicals and toxins under control, and it's easily damaged, and the membranes are easily damaged in the mitochondria, and that's where the ATP generation takes place. And there's tons of data on toxins damaging mitochondria. And then at a macrocosmic level or systemic level, toxins are directly damaging to the thyroid. And the thyroid is responsible for sort of being the gas to your metabolism. How much energy you're going to generate is signaled by the thyroid, and how much T4 hormone it puts out, and how much that converts to something called T3, the active one. And a lot of the toxins block the formation of T3 from T4, and you'll see T4 normal or elevated and T3 low, and the energy is down. So you've got the mitochondria, you've got the thyroid, and the adrenals are, and the whole kidney system are affected by the toxins as well. And so often you can get into a bit of a funk where your energy's so low, you don't have the energy to detoxify. And so it becomes a little bit difficult. But the first thing you could do is work on the liver. So how do you know the liver isn't working? Now, whether this is before you start detoxifying or when you start detoxifying, if you get a lot of itching and any rashes coming out, that is because the toxins weren't successfully going through the liver into the bile, and instead they got dumped back into the blood. And you're dumping into the blood not just toxins, but bile salts. So bile salts also circulate, and when too many are in the blood, they lodge under the skin and they make it itchy. And the toxins then try to come out through the skin and will often provoke inflammation or allergic reactions, and that's the rashes. So generally people with eczema have had a long-standing issue with their liver, and they've started an allergic to even autoimmune reaction to things starting to come out through the skin. So the skin is a big signaler to it, but also what they call upper right quadrant discomfort, like on your right side, right about the base of your ribs, after you eat, especially a fatty meal, if that feels sort of heavy or tender, that is the bile not being able to flow. Maybe the gallbladder is jammed up with, you can get this sludgy material in the bile tree, and you get that symptom there. So after a meal, especially a fatty meal, if you have discomfort up there, or if you start having itching, that's because the bile is not flowing correctly.
Okay, very interesting. I'm dealing with that kind of problem right now. So
we'll get you some bitters.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you how then we set up our detoxification systems.
Yes.
Because it's all based around this understanding. So at Quiksilver Scientific, I started the company building out detoxification systems because my PhD was in mercury chemistry. I first developed specialized testing for mercury, and then I put together these detoxification systems for it. Then I looked more broadly at all toxins, and I started making more universalized detoxification systems. So the detoxification systems include, like, there's a really simply named, our base system, which covers the most ground, is called push-catch liver detox. And it's got two parts. One part is called liver sauce, and the second part is called ultra-binder. And I didn't talk yet about binding toxins in the GI, so we'll get to that, because first we just talked about how we move things through the liver. Mm-hmm. But when we move things through the liver into the GI, the problem is a whole bunch of them get reabsorbed. So you put this poison into the GI and it comes back. And so moving the bile is called the push with the toxins. And then the catch are a system of binders. So binders are things like activated charcoal or clay. These are things that are not absorbed into the blood, but they catch the toxins that come out with the bile and prevent you from reabsorbing them. So in this push-catch liver system, you take liver sauce, and liver sauce has a couple different programs in it. Now, when I say programs, these are pairings of botanicals or nutraceutical compounds. Nutraceutical compounds would be like resveratrol or curcumin, a pure compound isolated from a plant. So we've got several different compounds in there. We've got a set of them, which I call a program, which are bitter compounds for bile flow. We've got another set that activate something called NRF2, which turns up at a cellular level in the microcosm, turns up the chemistry for preparing the toxin, linking it, and dumping it out of the cell. And then we also have a program of compounds in there for stabilizing the immune system when you do that. Now, what we're trying to stabilize you against is what's called mast cell activation, which is generating histamines and allergic-like compounds. And people who get very toxic, so from histamine release from the mast cells or other inflammatory release in this more allergic-like system. So we've got stabilizers for that so that both the compounds we give you, you don't react to allergically, and the toxins we're moving aren't reacted to. Because remember, those reactions are inflammatory reactions and they block detoxification. All right. So you take liver sauce, it activates the cells to dump toxins out. It activates the liver to pull the toxins and dump it out with the bile into the GI. And a half hour later, you take the binder and you pick those all up. Now, we specialize in bioavailability here, and so we use these systems of liposomes and lipid nanoparticles, which are these tiny little fat bubbles containing the compounds that are therapeutic. And we make these little bubbles so small that they passively diffuse right through your oral cavity. You'll take these in your mouth and hold them, then you'll swallow them. They'll start absorbing right in your mouth. They'll finish absorbing in your stomach and upper GI, and they'll peak in your blood in 15 to 25 minutes. So we're able to activate all of this detoxification chemistry really quickly, and then come in with these binders and pick it all up in the GI tract. And all people's negative reactions to detoxification are caused either because of the failure to move the bile at the same time you're moving the toxins, or because you haven't bound them in the gut and you reabsorb them. And then, you know, the second level of importance is because they have these allergic reactions to what they're taking and what they're moving out of the body. Once we are able to control those aspects there, we're able to go in and detoxify very rapidly and very powerfully without having all the side effects that people are used to having.
Mm-hmm. And the Herxheimer effect is one of those?
Yeah, the Herxheimer reaction is a really broad term. It's really misapplied quite often. It's supposed to be a certain inflammatory reaction when you kill too many bacteria at one time, like with a really strong antibiotic. But it tends to be whatever negative reaction you have to an either antimicrobial therapy or detoxification. So they say, I'm herxing. I took all this detox stuff and I've got rashes and a headache and diarrhea. That is all side reactions because you're not detoxifying correctly and your body's reacting to that.
Uh-huh. I see.
So you don't get those Herx reactions when you detoxify properly.
Yeah. Okay. So is that a complete view of the detoxification process and solutions?
Yeah, well, it's not a complete view, but that is the most essential core view, is to activate all that at once, all right? Now, there's things that we can add on to expand that. Now, glutathione is really great for detoxification, especially of heavy metals, and so we can add glutathione into the mix and help that quite a bit. There's things that if we if we have issues with some viruses in the body, you can use nano cat's claw to help eliminate those, because when you have chronic infections in your body, that blocks detoxification. So there's different add-ons that we can have. When we take the liver sauce, we can add other things in there. Maybe we're adding B vitamins to help catalyze some of these reactions, the glutathione to accelerate it, cat's claw to block Epstein-Barr cytomegalovirus and help all that. Then there's, you know, I'd mentioned before how to turn up the kidney activity. Now, the kidney's got some of the same chemistry that the liver has, so the liver sauce will activate that chemistry. But then taking things, drinking more water, doing things that help you urinate more, like dandelion or cranberry, that will help that. Saunas for sweating will help excess toxins leave the blood through the lymph and then through the sweat and take some of the heat off there. So these are all other adjunctives that can help with it. Remember, I said we need to be more parasympathetic, and so that can be breathing exercises, meditation that will help you be more parasympathetic, or it can be supplements like GABA or CBD. CBD is a really important one for balancing sympathetic and parasympathetic, and it's a really, really important brain supplement for calming down that hyperactivity in the brain that blocks a lot of that. So those are great ways to add in there. And then anything that you can do to stimulate lymphatic flow. And that could be anywhere from rebounders, the little trampolines that you jump on. There are vibration plates that are really good for that, that sort of you stand on and they shake you back and forth at different rates. There's lymphatic drainage. I've used these wands before that have a plasma in them that are really good at moving lymph. They'll call those lymphatic enhancement technologies, similar things to that. And massage moves lymph. A lot of people will go and get a massage, especially when they're toxic or detoxifying, and they'll feel crappier after the massage than before. What they have to do is take some bitters and some binder to bind up everything that's moved to make sure you move all those toxins you just flushed out of your tissues and make sure they get to the GI, to the binder, and taken safely out of the system. And you'll see then you don't feel bad after the massage. So that's a more broad view of all the aspects of detoxification.
Yeah, thank you. So what about detox diets? Do you think that that can help, or fasting?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up. Now, there's a lot of things that are, you know, kind of like lightweight, like not real strong, but, you know, they have, oh yeah, sign up with this program and you take these detox shakes and this and that and the other thing. And what is good about that in there, like the most important thing around diet for detoxification is eating less. And very importantly, eating less carb. So like, you know, keto diets became all the rage after paleo diet. Now, paleo diet had some problems in it. It was too protein heavy. It had the carb restriction, which was good, but it was too protein heavy. And when you jam a lot of protein in, you turn the protein into sugar. It's called gluconeogenesis. And you're not able to get into a state of ketosis when you burn fat. Now, in the keto diet, people well know that often a lot of people go into getting keto flu. Keto flu is when you start burning fat, you start mobilizing fat-soluble toxins, and you're not moving them through the liver or binding them correctly, and you feel crappy. You give people who have keto flu binder, they feel better right away. And so it's important to see how strong that diet acts as catalyzing detoxification. Now, you don't need to go all the way into a keto diet or into ketosis if you don't want to, or you can use a helper like our product. We have a product called Keto Before Six, which if you take it, you know, on a fasted stomach in the morning, meaning you just didn't eat overnight, you'll be in ketosis in an hour and a half. Not because there's exogenous ketones, but because there's compounds that hit triggers that flip you into ketosis. So there's ways to get in there real quick. But the most important thing around detoxification is just to eat less. And the easiest way to do that is intermittent fasting. If you want to go all the way to water fasting, that's great, but that's pretty intense. At least just give your GI tract a break and, you know, skip breakfast. If you want to skip dinner, you can do that too. But make it, the intermittent fasting should be anywhere from 14 to 20 hours in between your last meal of the previous day and your first meal of the next day. And there are so many benefits that are gained during that period. It's really exceptional. And when people couple some level of fasting to the detoxification, everything happens a lot faster. And then when they do eat, they should minimize carbs, the moderate level of protein, and a lot of fiber, a lot of vegetables, some blend of cooked and fresh vegetables, usually depending upon what time of year it is or how cold your environment is. When you're in a really cold environment, being raw all the time is hard on the body. You need more cooked vegetables. Whereas in the summer or in a hot area, you can focus more on the raw vegetables. So that's sort of outline of the diet.
Wow, thank you. Thank you. We are touching on a lot of very, very important topics here.
And, you know, the diet all ties back into the mitochondria, because when you go into those periods of fasting, especially carb restriction, there's something called AMPK activation. And that is what happens when you starve and or carb restrict and go into ketosis. You have AMPK activation, and it activates a real mobilization of energy resources in the body, which results in very clean burning. So you start burning your fat, you burn more glycogen, you actually increase how many glucose transporters you have. And in doing so, you increase the number of mitochondria in the cell, and you increase how effectively or efficiently they burn. So you turn yourself into a clean burner, and that energy is then used for detoxification. And when you've got a lot of energy, you can use it for immune health, detoxification, regeneration all at once. And so that's where we want to get you to. We want to take out all the interfering compounds. We want to get you into a strong, healthy metabolism, and we want to get you running all your programs at once, whether it's detox, immune, regeneration. That's the vitality where we're trying to get everybody to.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So one other little thing I wanted to ask you, you know, in the environment now, we are seeing more and more, you know, nanoparticles.
Right.
And is that something you can, how can we catch those? Any idea?
Yeah, so they're a little bit different. So where do you find these nanoparticle exposures? Yeah, there's some, you know, there's a variety of industries releasing them. And we have to differentiate the mineral nanoparticles from the nanoparticles that I make for delivery called lipid nanoparticles. Right. And so just looking at those first, these are made out of the same thing that your cell membranes are made out of, called phospholipids. And they'll have other oils in them. And that's actually how you move dietary fats from your GI tract out to your cells. You make these things called chylomicrons, which are little lipid nanoparticles. And you have all of this transport and enzyme system for taking them apart and taking the energy out of them and using them for energy, burning fat for energy. And so when we're moving our nutraceuticals through you, we're making a structurally similar particle to bring this stuff into you. So that's a good nanotechnology. Mm-hmm. A bad nanotechnology would be these mineral nanoparticles like titanium dioxide that are in a lot of sunscreen and white pigments. And then you run into like the aluminum nanoparticles. And aluminum nanoparticles are adjuvants in vaccines. And what people refer to as chemtrails, I haven't seen the data on these, but allegedly chemtrails are little dispersions of nano aluminum particles and some blend of aluminum, barium, and I think strontium. And these things rain down and are allegedly getting caught up into the biology. Now, they're not like a dissolved metal like lead or mercury that makes its way fluidly through your system and gets into your aqueous biochemistry. These are little particles, and they get sucked into your lymphatics, and they collect in, one, they're interfering in your extracellular matrix. I was kind of giving a little primer on how important the extracellular matrix is to the way that you move nutrients and waste from cells to blood, and the way that you communicate cell to cell, and all of the sensitive sort of communication machinery, like the Chinese medicine meridians move through all that extracellular matrix. And that healthy functioning of the extracellular matrix is based on its structuring as kind of a gel material. And things like aluminum go in and they disrupt the structuring of the extracellular matrix. And so they can obstruct the autonomic nervous system and the meridians all moving through there. And then they accumulate in the lymph nodes, and you need to get them out of there because they start inhibiting your immune system. So what's moving through the lymph and the lymph nodes, but all the immune cells and the immune signaling is all going through there. And so when you build up these toxins in there, you can blow your immune system. So they're getting rid of them is more in that lymphatic section. And so that would include the massage, the rebounding, the lymphatic, the wand technologies for moving lymph, acupuncture, homeopathics, energy medicine, all that is what's necessary for moving those materials out of the system.
Mm-hmm. I see. Wow. Great explanation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I think we've talked about most of the things I wanted to talk about. Maybe autophagy and detox. Is that
sure.
Something?
All right, so now we're going back into these dietary ideas. And so autophagy, autophagy, that means self-eating, is a process. This is a higher level of detoxification. So yeah, we need to go in and pull, say, mercury out of the cell so it's not damaging the mitochondria. But what if it already damaged the mitochondria and you have a bunch of, you know, half-functioning mitochondria in your cell? Half-functioning mitochondria are toxic themselves. They produce free radicals. They don't produce energy. And so they're further damaging your cell. So we need to go in and we need to destroy that mitochondria and we need to make a new one. Or we need to just destroy the whole cell itself and make a new one. So autophagy is to destroy, and then the flip side of it is to rebuild. And so there are subsets of autophagy, one being mitophagy is consuming damaged mitochondria. And that's one side of the coin. And the other side of the coin is mitochondrial biogenesis. And that biogenesis is rebuilding a new mitochondria. Endoroticulopathy is taking an endoplasmic reticulum, which is an organ in the cell called an organelle, and digesting that and rebuilding it. So when do you do these things? You do these things when you're in a more fasted state. And so there's this whole yin-yang between fed and fasted. When you are constantly eating carbs all day, you never flip over into this cleanup phase. It is when you are in carb restriction. And that's important that I say carb restriction because, yes, it's good to completely fast, but if you need some calories, if you get those from fat, like, you know, people have the bulletproof coffee, it's a butter and MCT in their coffee, that will provide energy for you without breaking the fasting cycle. And so you will be able to have autophagy at the same time that you have some energy there. And there are things that we can do to enhance the movement into autophagy. And these are a lot of the compounds that we can take that are what are called AMPK activators. So we get back to this idea of AMPK activation, and mitochondrial biogenesis and autophagy are secondary to AMPK activation. That's why I say you need to be either in a fasting, intermittent fasting, or carb restriction to be able to get into this. And then the compounds that accentuate that, the most well-known of those is resveratrol. But within that system of liver sauce and the ultra binder that we call Pushcatch Liver Detox, the almost every compound in liver sauce is an AMPK activator. And so when you're doing that system, especially if you're doing that while carb restricting or intermittent fasting, you have the dietary setup for it, and then you have the nutraceutical amplification of that. Now, if you're less worried about detox and more worried about losing weight and cardiovascular health, you can do the Keto Before 6 product. Those are also all AMPK activators, but a little bit more metabolically driven. So there's lipoic acid in the liver sauce, which is a big detox compound, whereas the Keto Before 6 has resveratrol and berberine, which are big for blood sugar control and cardiovascular health. And so there's ways that we can, when we link together these powerful nutraceuticals with our dietary interventions, we get the results that we're looking for really, really quickly. Now, one compound we just have to talk about is NAD, because NAD is at the core of almost everything that we're talking about, because NAD is, one, it's helping you metabolize carbon substrates, whether they're carbohydrates or fats, and it's taking electrons from those carbon substrates, bring them into the mitochondria, and feeding them into what's called the electron transport chain, which is part of a process called oxidative phosphorylation, and that's how you make ATP. You take electrons from the carbon substrates that originally it's energy coming from the sun, you're taking that energy, putting it into the mitochondria, and driving ATP formation so you can have energy. When the NAD levels are high, you're able to metabolize these substrates and make energy. But it doesn't, that's just the tip of the iceberg for NAD. NAD, when it's high, activates what are called sirtuins. And if you've ever heard of sirtuins, these are longevity genes that we want to activate. And the first discussion around those were back when resveratrol was discovered, because it was a sirtuin activator. But if you don't have enough NAD, you can eat resveratrol all day long and you won't activate your sirtuins. So NAD is primary before the resveratrol, but really what we want are both of these at the same time, the AMPK activators, and we want our NAD levels high. Now, fasting, exercise, good clean life, AMPK activation helps build NAD, but as we get older, it's harder and harder to build that. And so we need some precursors to NAD, and they're in the vitamin B3 family. Now, niacin and niacinamide, these are simple B3s. These become ATP, but as we get older, it's harder and harder to make them from those cheap B3 vitamins. And you need to move more to these direct precursors to NAD. The one we use is called NMN, nicotinamide mononucleotide. And we put that in a liposome with some trimethylglycine, a methylation promoter. And that becomes a very strong way to build your NAD levels. And the NAD then coordinates the mitochondria with the nucleus. It coordinates your sleep patterns. It coordinates your metabolism. It activates the sirtuins. And it works fantastically well to build that up. And so that is, you know, once we get the toxins out, we want to build this strong energy metabolism with having high levels of NAD, getting the right dietary regimes. And it doesn't mean you have to be a Nazi. It just means that you have to rotate in these periods of scarcity of food.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you. And so one more thing. It's not a pure toxin, but EMF.
Yeah, it's a dysregulator.
Yeah, is there what can we do about that? Is there anything?
Yeah, well, yes, there's a lot we can do about that. Now, there's prevention, and that's EMF hygiene, yeah. And that is turning off your Wi-Fi at night 100%. If you don't shut off your Wi-Fi generator, you're an idiot. You just have to do that. Turn off your phone at night. It's called airplane mode. The radio turns off. The alarm clock still works. You know, it's fine. Everybody uses their phone as an alarm clock now. Me too. All you got to do is put it in airplane mode and it's not transmitting anymore.
Yeah.
You do those two. You limit, you know, like my friends in Europe, they're like, you got to no Wi-Fi at all. You got to plug in. But that's, we can't always do that. You know, my building here is all Wi-Fi'd out. You turn on your Wi-Fi, all your neighbors are Wi-Fi'd out. You get everybody's signal. So now there's a limit to how much we can stay away from it. And how do we keep our body able to resist it? And it comes back to NAD.
Yeah.
So a lot of the damage, EMF damages these things called voltage-gated calcium channels. The guy who does the most work on this is a guy named Martin Pall, P-A-L-L, and he's at, University of Washington, maybe. Yeah, I think that's where he is. And you can find a lot of his work online. He publishes books, and you can download them free, and you can learn more about that. But that, when you block, so calcium is supposed to be pumped out of your cell all the time, and you have high calcium on the outside of the cell and high magnesium on the inside of the cell. Sodium and potassium, so calcium, magnesium are this yin-yang pair. Calcium is stimulating, magnesium is relaxing. Calcium is outside the cell, magnesium is inside the cell. Sodium and potassium, same. Sodium outside, potassium inside. And you maintain those gradients. There's always compartmentalization in a healthy system. And loss of compartmentalization causes loss of vitality and then death. When it all comes all together into a big mush where it's all mixed together, that's when you're dead. All right, so these transporters that are supposed to keep calcium out get nailed by EMF, and the calcium rushes into the cell and creates inflammatory reactions, and the whole energy of the system goes down. All the dysregulation starts happening. What fixes those transporters? NAD. So you're consuming NAD all the time to rescue your cells from the EMF. And so you need to keep the NAD levels high. It goes right back into all the same things. Some intermittent fasting, carb restriction, AMPK activation, and building NAD with NAD precursors. And then you will be able to live through the EMF very well.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. That's what
and let me just give two other naturopathic things for EMF, and that's how to clear your body when all your, because all those meridians and all your electrochemistry is getting jammed by that. At a cellular level, yeah, it's NAD, but like all the meridians get all screwed up from the EMF. Go outside, grounding, you know, bare feet onto the soil, onto the grass, really, really good. And then two things. Sky gazing, look into the blue sky while you're grounded onto the ground. The blue sky, even people are doing all these blue blocker glasses and stuff. It's really stupid. That's at night you need blue blocking from all your devices. During the morning, the blue is what activates your adrenals and wakes you all up. And so the looking into the sky while grounded resets your meridians. But nothing is more powerful than looking right at the sun. But you can only do it for a couple of seconds right when the sun's coming up, you know, about an hour after it comes up and an hour before it goes down in that window there. And just looking for a couple seconds just resets everything. Like that's the big electromagnetic generator. And when you tune yourself to that, everything fixes itself. So lighter version of that is just standing in the sun, gazing at the sky, but getting the grounding going. That is a great, great reset.
Amazing. I love it. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, you know, honestly, I thought this would be a little easier. It's more complex than I thought. So now if people want to take some steps, can they find their way on your website, for instance, to know what to take, or do we all need to go and get a healthcare practitioner?
Well, healthcare practitioner lead you through complexity if you have a difficult case. And I laid out all this stuff because, you know, you have readers who know a lot and sometimes they want to know all that stuff. Sometimes it freaks them out knowing too much. But quicksilverscientific.com. You can get an account there. You can buy retail. And if you're in Europe, you'll buy through Life Extension EU. And if you go to YouTube, if you want more education, if you go to YouTube, there is the Quicksilver Scientific channel on YouTube that I have all these lectures on. You can learn about all this stuff. But if you just want to go and detoxify, you want to keep it simple, that Push Catch Liver Detox, one box there is not your whole detox. It's just in bite-sized chunks. You're going to want to do at least 1 to 2 months. And that is going to take you 2 to 4 boxes. And you just follow the instructions. You either titrate up, there's the level 1, 2, 3, or just start at level 2 if you're pretty healthy. And just do that. You'll go follow the instructions, 10 days on, 4 days off. You might want to add glutathione into that. And that will do you really well. If you just do those two together, that's real strong. If you have known inflammation or anxiety, you can add CBD on, and you'll see it's really easy. When you take your liver sauce liposome, you just take all the other add-ons along with it. Half hour later, you take the binder, everything's cleaned up. You just do that twice a day. And so, in fact, that's a very common detox I do, is push catch, glutathione, and CBD. And that will take tons of stuff out of your body. It'll hit. And then if you just couple that to some intermittent fasting, just skip your breakfast or skip your dinner or eat lower amounts and give yourself a nice range between dinner and breakfast, you'll tie in a lot of that metabolic aspect. And there's plenty of in that mix. There's all these AMPK activators to give you the help there. And after a couple of weeks of doing that, add on the NAD gold, and that'll supercharge your system. And then when you're done with the detox, keep going with the NAD gold, and you'll have plenty of energy then.
Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah, that sounds good. And did you want to add one more thing about water, you know, different types of water?
Yeah, you know, water's a tricky business to wade through what goes on out there in the marketing world. There's a lot of talk around structured water. I know you interviewed a guy yesterday who we talked about, Clayton Nolte, and he's got his structured water units that he sells. There's Gerald Pollack lectures a lot on structuring inside your body, and your body structures water. But what breaks that structure down? Toxins, EMF. And so these things like being in the sun and detoxifying help rebuild the structure inside your body. So those, you know, just being clean is a way to structure yourself. Then you can go into these devices that help structure your water, like Clayton cells. And then there's really high-end stuff like deuterium-depleted water, which I'm drinking right now. You know, it costs, you know, $60 for a 2-liter bottle. But that is removing background radiation, deuterium that's built up in the environment. The deuterium goes in it. Blocks your mitochondria. It blocks the aquaporins, or blocks the ATP synthase in the mitochondria. And so deuterium depleted water allows your mitochondria to work better. And we'll see that technology emerge a little bit more over the next couple of years. But the most important thing you can do is just get yourself clean water. I have an under-counter reverse osmosis unit in my home. I have a tabletop unit here in my office. And reverse osmosis or distillation takes a lot of junk out of your, keeps a really clean water for you. And then as long as you have enough minerals in your diet, whether it's sea salt, we have a special French seawater called Quinton that I remineralize with, then you'll be fine. People used to worry about distilled water, but that's back when people were avoiding all salt and using distilled water too. And so that's just some simple things around water. Is get yourself clean water. The next step beyond that is starting to structure your water. And the highest end thing is deuterium depletion.
Uh-huh. Good. Good, good, good. Okay, I think that's it. We could talk for many, many more hours. I think it's time to stop.
All right.
So, Dr. Shade, thank you very much for spending all this time with us today and sharing all your expertise. I think this will be very, very helpful for our audience, and we can all start taking better care of our detoxification system to stay healthy.
Okay, Brigitte, it was great talking to you. And yeah, if people contact us, we can also put them in contact with different practitioners to talk to or answer any of their questions on the products.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you again. And this is Brigitte Mouchet with the Solari Wellness Series. Thank you for listening, and take good care of yourself, because it's more fun to be well.